Amen. Thank you, Stacy. Beautiful, beautiful song. What a wonderful truth that is. For God so loved the world. That means every individual person who has ever lived. And if you were the only one, He came, died on a cross for you. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. That's God's love. Well, 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 9, certainly we see God's love throughout this passage. But our text is found in verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith. That is the title of the message this morning, the end of your faith. It says, even the salvation of your souls. But I want to talk to you about the end of your faith. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching. I do thank you again for all the good music and Lord, for the messages that we've heard through song and certainly the Sunday school hour. And now I pray you'd help us to pay close attention to the scripture and to your Holy Spirit. May you guide us, Lord, according to how you'd like us to decide today, to make our decisions, to have our lives changed. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And really, this morning, we're just going to look at three points. We're going to talk about the beginning of your faith, the end of your faith, and then, of course, the trip of faith. And we're all on that trip right now. And we're all, hopefully you do have a beginning of faith. Hopefully you have trusted Christ as your Savior. We'll talk about that. But basically, we're all just kind of, we're going along on the trip of faith. And we're waiting on the end of that, even the salvation of your souls. That doesn't mean that you're not saved yet. It just means that one of these days you're going to be in heaven. One of these days you're going to be free from sin. And what a blessing that's going to be. Talked about that in our Sunday school class today. And I got off on a couple of tangents, and it got me in all kinds of trouble as far as my outline, but that's okay. But a lot of times the Christian life is likened to a trip. It's likened to, for example, the seniors just went on their senior trip, and I'm sure that the words, "Are we there yet?" came out every now and then to Brother Chase. And you know how it is. You're gone for 1 minute, and the kids all say, "Are we there yet?" And it's a long, long trip, and they're kind of waiting on that. You know, I sometimes I think that way, you know, as far as heaven. Lord, are we there yet? Is this it? You read the newspaper, you hear about another earthquake. You read the earth, or you read the paper, and you hear about another volcano. You read the paper, and you hear about more stupidity and things going on in our world, and sin and evil, and you just say, Lord, is this it? Are we there? Have we arrived? And well, it's not yet, but praise the Lord. You know, there is going to be an end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. That's for saved people. That is a promise from God. And praise the Lord for that. And so I want to talk to you about the end of your faith. We're going to start off, and of course, Peter here, he starts off and he talks much about our salvation in chapter 1. And we'll look at all those verses. But number one is the beginning of faith, the beginning of our faith. And by the way, this, you know, this is like a story. You know, a story has an end, of course. And always as you get toward the end, the author is trying to keep you excited about the end. And I you know, I'm more excited today than I was when I first got saved. Now, some of you, you know, I'm not sure if you are or not. And but that might be because you quit reading the story. I would encourage you to read the story and just keep reading the story. Now, you can cheat and go to the end and read the end of the story, at least as far as the Bible's concerned. But we're getting closer to the end every day. We're getting closer to Jesus coming or us going. I mean, honestly, it is getting closer and closer to that. And but every ending obviously has to start with the beginning. And the beginning of our faith, obviously, if the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls, then something had to start that. And there had to be a beginning of that. And of course, we know that as a time when we trusted Jesus as our Savior. For me, I was 17 years old. That was 35 years ago that I trusted Jesus as Savior. Go ahead and calculate. It'll be 35 years in September. But anyway, yes, I'm 52 years old, but 35 years ago, it's hard to believe. I've been saved 35 years. But I started out by faith, trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you have trusted Christ by faith, then you also have started on that trip. You also have begun by faith, and you will be looking forward to receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And these verses talk about our salvation. We are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We talked about it in Sunday school. Oh, you know, that's a deep, deep, deep topic. It's not really that deep if you understand what the Bible says about it. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. God has foreknowledge, and God can see into the future. In fact, God could see before the world was ever created. God knew what was going to happen. God, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God knew who would be saved and who would not be saved. God knew when you would trust Christ. God knew at the age of 17 that I would trust Jesus as my Savior. And in his foreknowledge, he elected me to salvation. And somebody said it this way, said that the devil has one vote, and you have a vote, and God obviously has a vote, and God's vote is for you to be saved. And when you make the choice to be saved, well, it's 2-1. You win. Amen. And when you say, God, I trust you. I'm coming in. I want you to come into my heart. I bow my head. I'm a sinner, and I deserve punishment in hell. But you died on the cross to pay for my sins. Then God says, you know, I saw that way before you ever made that decision. God says, I've got plans for you. And one of his plans is the salvation of my soul. One of his plans is that one of these days I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm going to have a perfect body, and I'm going to be perfect, and I'm going to have a sinless life in eternity with God. That all started in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, but it started for me when I was 17. And if you've never been saved, you need to understand. You say, that's awful deep for me. You just need to understand that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. And if you will call upon him to come into your heart, he will save you. And he will take you to heaven one day. And you can also rejoice about the end of your faith being the salvation of your soul. It says in verse 17, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, in that beginning of my faith, I realized that there had to be blood applied or my sins could not be forgiven. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And if there were no shedding of blood, if there were no Savior dying on a cross, if Jesus had been just a good man and just a teacher and just a preacher, and he had not been the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, and he had not hung on a cross, then we would all be lost. There would be no hope. There would be no salvation. But thank God, he is that Lamb of God. He is the one who died for us, and that is what I believed. Now, do you believe that today? If you don't believe that today, I wish I could convince you to believe that Jesus loves you and he died for you and he'll save you. That is where my beginning of faith was. It's when I realized I was lost and realized I needed Jesus so that I could be saved. And I called on him and I trusted him as my Savior. I believed what God said. I wasn't christened. I wasn't confirmed. That didn't save me. By the way, I was sprinkled as a little baby. That did nothing for me. I mean, I had some special little thing on. I don't remember. Mom, I used to talk about that. We were, my parents were creasters. What's that? They went to church Christmas and Easter. And they went to a Methodist church. They were lost as lost could be. But they thought that was an important thing. And I think Grandma might have made me some kind of little outfit thing. And they took me and they sprinkled water. And as a little baby, I got so wrapped up into it, I said, wah! You know, I didn't care. And if you're trusting in something like that today, you're lost. If you're trusting in something like that today, you're headed for hell. You cannot trust in those things. It's not being christened. It's not being confirmed. It's not being baptized. It's not being a church member. It's not being a good person. It is a time when you call on Jesus Christ and you ask Him to be your Savior and you ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and you're saved. Again, 35 years ago in September, I said yes to Jesus. I said yes to what He said. And my Bible says that I'm born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's what it talks about here in verse 2. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. He's birthed us again. We're born again. We're a new creature. And it's unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not all about death anymore. Now it's about life. It's about eternal life. It's about abundant life. It's a whole different life that I was born into. It's eternal life. When you say yes to Jesus, it's not progressive. It's birth. It's being born anew. It's being born from above. It's being born into the family of God. It's being born where God is your Father. It's being born again. First time we're born as sinners. Second time we're born into the family of God. And our sins are forgiven. And our sins are blotted out and washed away because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the beginning of faith. You say, well, what did you see? I didn't see anything. I believed it by faith. See, it's all by faith. That's how, by far, the majority of folks in this room, that's where you are right now. Now, it wasn't when you were 17. It might have been when you were 5. It might have been when you were 10. It might have been when you were in your 50s. It might have been when you were in your 30s. But there was a time when you called upon Jesus Christ, and by faith, you asked Him to save your lost soul. Amen. John 3, verse 15 says, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Amen. Should not perish. What do you have to do? Believeth in Him, it says. John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Notice again, it's believing on the Son. Believing in Him should not perish. Believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. By the way, if you have everlasting life, then it's not something that you can lose. It is something that you have. And if you have life, that means you don't have death. I pass from death to life. Amen. I'm not going to die. Oh, the body's going to die someday. But I'm not going to die. I have everlasting life. Everlasting life lasts how long? Forever. Eternal life lasts how long? For eternity. And I'm just saying this, when you have that life, when that is your life, then nobody can take that away. You have it. That is your life. Half life, that means you're not dead. By the way, if you have money, that means you're not broke. Now, you may not be able to say that today, and hopefully after the offering tonight, nobody will be able to say they have money. No. But if you have a car, that means you don't have to walk. If you have a house, that means you're not going to get rained on. Amen. And if you have life, that means that you don't have death. Boy, that's good stuff. I wish you'd get excited. Acts 16:31 says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Okay, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anything about joining a church. Doesn't say anything about getting baptized. Doesn't say anything about doing good works. It just says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Saved. Amen. And again, what's the key word there? The key word is believing. Believing. What's that take? Takes faith. Takes faith. That is how simple it is. Well, you Baptists, you make it too easy. Then do it. Amen. Then do it. If it's so easy, do it. You know, I've shared this testimony. Flint, soul winning in Flint was always an adventure. I mean, we especially where our church was. And we many times ran into gang members. And I remember talking to a couple of real tough guys one Saturday afternoon. And I was out there and these guys were gang members and they were using all kinds of unique language. But I started talking to them about getting saved. And I said, you know, I said, it's a matter of just trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He died on the cross to pay for your sin. And all you need is, and one guy said, so that's all I need to do. I just need to call on Jesus and ask Him to forgive me and come into my heart. And I said, that's exactly right. And he looked at me and he said, well, it's too easy. I said, do it then. Well, here? I said, what? I thought it was easy. Well, yeah, but I mean, right here? I said, well, you don't have to do it right here. You could do it later on. Why wouldn't you do it right here if it's so easy? Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody ought to get saved. Everybody ought to get saved. It's amazing if it's so easy. Why everybody doesn't, right? John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. I'm just saying this. It's to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Who's that for? Even to them that believe on his name. Doesn't say even to them who are members of a certain church. Doesn't say even to them that give so much money. Even to them that do all these good works. It says those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ, those are the ones he gave power to become the sons of God. And that's that start right there. That's what happens when you get saved. That's how you get saved. You believe on the Lord. You say, well, I'm just trying to work my way to heaven. You'll never get there that way. It's not the path you take. Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there by church membership. You can't get there by baptism or good works or anything like that. The only way you get to heaven is by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross. If we could work our way to heaven, why did he die on the cross? Why was he buried? Why was he resurrected? No, you can't get there any other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all starts with believing. It all starts with believing. It all starts with saying, God, I believe what you said. This is your word, and I've read it, and I believe it. I believe it. I believe what you said, and God, you said that if I would call upon you and I would ask you to forgive me and come into my heart, you said you would save me. And God, I believe that, and that's why I called on you. Praise God. Now, if you have some other method, you have some other idea, you have people that are lighting candles for you or something like that, I got news for you. You're headed for a huge disappointment. You're not even on the trip. Look, listen to me. The beginning is a beginning of faith. The beginning is a beginning by saying, God, I believe you. I trust you. I believe you. And I'm believing that you will save me. Amen. It's kind of like you take a plane trip, you get on, and you just believe. You know, you don't tell them in the mid-flight to stop and let you off because you're kind of nervous about things. That's not a good idea. Never, 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 never is. Nowhere are we told that, you know, when we get on the plane, okay, now we're going to let some folks hang on to the wings. That's never a good idea either. You know, we just get on and go. And that's what you need to do. And you know, many, many Christians, if you would just get a hold of the fact that God does the saving. God does the saving. God does the keeping. Amen. Verse 5, look what it says. Who are kept by the power of God. Through what? Through faith. Why? I did that. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto the end. What's that? Salvation of my soul. But we're kept by the power of God. You say, I'm concerned about so and so, and I'm not sure if they're still saved. Look, if they ever were, they are. If you ever were, you are. Amen. Now you might be trying to hold on to the wing of the plane instead of just sitting in the seat comfortably. But I got news for you: we're kept by the power of God. We're kept because we said, God, I believe by faith, and now it's not in my hands anymore. It's in His hands, and I'm in His hand. Amen. Well, you say, I've been prying His finger away. You can't do it. It's impossible. It can't happen. Besides that, that'd be kind of dumb. Amen? It'd be as foolish as I'm nervous about the flight. We're 30,000 feet up, but I'm scared because it's bumpy. I'm jumping out. Not smart. And just like Christians, you know what? Hey, you need to understand something. You started something by faith. You said, God, I believe you. You said, God, I trust you. You said, God, I'm going to do what you said to do. And you did what God said to do by faith. And now my Bible says you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. which is the end. Number one, the beginning of faith. Number two, the end of faith. What's that? It says that in verse 9, even the salvation of your soul. The end of your faith, salvation, final salvation. Full when we're in heaven. Full when Jesus comes. For some, it'll be death. For some, it'll be it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, and you'll die. And you'll die, and there'll be they'll put your body in a casket, and they'll put it up here in front, or maybe in a funeral home or something, and people will say all kinds of nice things, but that's just your body. You are going to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's the end of your faith. You know, people are always saying, well, I just wish I knew what was in the afterlife. You don't have to know what's in the afterlife. You just need to know that you're going to be in the afterlife rather than the after death in hell. Anything is better than hell. Anything is better than eternal fire. Anything is better than being away from God Almighty and the Holy Spirit of God. Anything's better than that. Oh no, listen, the end is our salvation. That's why some of you ought to convince yourself of it. I'm telling you, the end is salvation. The end is the salvation of our soul. And the Bible says so much about it. It talks about mansions and streets of gold and pearly gates and our loved ones and no pain and no tears and no sorrow and no devil there. Glory to God. I mean, it's good stuff. It says in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible. Wow. Incorruptible. Do you know that most of the stuff we have corrupts? You have any old newspaper clippings? They're ugly now, aren't they? Isn't it amazing how nasty they get? My wife, she likes to get the little comic strips and anything that applies to us, which a lot does. I mean, it really does, and it's hilarious. And we get these kinds, she'll put them up on the refrigerator. And you know, it just doesn't take very long, and that white page turns yellow. Starts looking nasty. Everything corrupts. You know, you don't believe it? Look at your car. Especially in Michigan. You know, and pretty soon you're painting rust. Yeah, yeah. You don't believe it? Look at you. Talk about paint and rust. I'm not talking about makeup. But I'm just saying, boy, you know, everything corrupts. Look at your house. Remember when it was brand new? It's not now, is it? No. I mean, everything corrupts. Everything corrupts. But you know what? The Bible says this. It says, I have an inheritance that is incorruptible. I'm talking about there aren't any snowplows in heaven. There's no salt trucks. Amen. An inheritance that's incorruptible. Cannot be destroyed. Cannot be hurt. Never will. I'm talking about a mansion where you'll never have to paint. I don't know. God may let you paint if you like paint. I don't know how that all works. But I'm just saying it's an inheritance, incorruptible, and notice this, it's undefiled. I mean, pretty much everything man touches is defiled. Right? Yeah. And notice this, and that fadeth not away. And you have a reservation reserved in heaven for you. Yeah, for you. That's for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. And reserved in heaven for you. That's good stuff. I'm talking about in heaven where there's no devil. I'm talking about a heaven where there's no sin. I'm talking about in heaven where there's no gossip. I'm talking about in heaven where there's no lies, no fear, no bills. Amen. Wouldn't you like the rapture to take place and all the collection agencies will have to leave you alone? Anyway. No jealousy. No hate. You know what? It's getting closer to the end. Tell your face. Tell your heart. Tell your soul. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the gray. It's Michigan. It's supposed to be blue, but we have to say gray for Michigan. No, somewhere beyond the blue. Folks, listen to me. The end is wonderful. The end is glorious. If you're saved, you do not have to fear the end. The Bible tells us so much about the beginning and the end, that we should be excited. You know, and again, it's by faith. Well, have you ever seen heaven? Never have. Don't have any idea. In fact, I don't think my mind could even imagine how great heaven is. The Bible gives me a little glimpse. We'll get to that in a minute. But, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? By faith. That's how my trip started. That's how my trip's going to end. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith. You say, preacher, it seems to me like you really believe all that stuff. I really do believe all that. Don't you? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. And the more I hear the Word of God, the more I believe it. And that brings me to number three, and that's the trip of faith. And that's how our life is. It's a trip of faith. When my wife and I, we've taken several exciting trips and trips where we had no idea what to expect. Of course, the first time we went to Hawaii, we took that was a trip like that. We'd always heard things about Hawaii and had no idea what to expect. And of course, our trip to Australia was another trip that was very much like that. Our trip to I took a trip to a missions trip to Mexico one time, and you know, in all those situations, we got information, little booklets, magazines, everything we could that told us about where we were going, so we could get more excited about that. But even as we read about Hawaii, even as we read about Australia, my wife, she had to see a kangaroo and she had to see a koala bear. I mean, it's you see them in the zoo, that's not enough. She had to see them in person, in kangaroo, in koala. Anyway, because they're not persons. But she had to see him for herself right then and there. And but you know what? As we read about all that stuff, we had faith and kind of started to understand what we might see. We had an idea of what it might look like. We had an idea of what it might be like. And you know, the closer we got to going there and to those places, the more excited we got about it. That's why some of you aren't excited, because you haven't looked at your travel catalog in a long time. You know, you look, if you start to think of it, and I'm not talking about living in the future, I'm just talking about the idea that, hey, this thing called death, it's not so bad if you look ahead at what's going to take place there. I mean, the end of my faith is the salvation of my soul. That's a pretty good thing. I can get pretty excited about that. And this trip of faith that the Bible talks about here is a trip that is a trip built upon faith, and faith in what God says. The reason so many Christians struggle today is because we just struggle with the idea of, do I really believe God? I mean, do I really believe what God said? Look at Colossians 2, verse 6. We'll go back to our text here in a second. But I want you to say, and I use this verse often, and I love this verse, Colossians 2 and verse 6. It says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Well, how did I receive Him? By faith. Now I need to walk by faith. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. I mean, everything about my Christian life is a life of faith. If your life is not of faith, you're saved, but you just quit growing where you trust God and everything, I can understand why this trip isn't too exciting to you. I can understand why you're having the trouble that you're having. I can understand why you're struggling with actually the end. But if you've been walking by faith, and if you've been living your life by faith, good night. I mean, you ought to be excited that the end is near. Verse 6, look what it says back in 1 Peter 1. It says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. My travel guide says that I'm going to have some temptations. My travel guide says that I might be in heaviness through manifold temptations. And I don't think that's talking about our weight. My travel guide says this. It says, verse 7, that the trial of your faith... Oh, it says, my faith is going to be tried. It's not a surprise. You know, it's when the first time we went to Niagara Falls, we looked ahead, we looked at little magazines and little things about Niagara Falls, and therefore, we knew it was going to be a lot of water going fast. We kind of knew that. You know, it wasn't a surprise. That's bigger than a shower. Yeah. Yeah, we knew. Amen. You know, it amazes me how so many times Christians, I got saved and I can't believe I'm going through this. Why? Your faith is going to be tried. God told us that. God said it over and over. Talked about it in Sunday school. Things kind of bleed together here. But, beloved, think it not strange that the fiery trials, it's tough trials. Think it not strange? And yet, Christian, where's God? He doesn't love me. God told you it was going to be like that. Look at the travel guide. He tells us, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That's my life he's talking. Wait a minute. He's talking about our lives. Yeah, and Peter understood that. Paul understood that. It's a trial. Notice what it says, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Huh? It's not, don't be shocked that there's trials, temptations. There's growth in our lives, and growth is tough, and our faith has to grow. And the only way that our faith can grow is to be exercised. And the only way for it to be exercised is there has to be something that we doubt that is facing us. There is no faith where there is no doubt. There is no faith where there's not a challenge needing faith. We like to think that when you get saved, and you know, it's sad. A lot of Christian television and radio and all that portrays this. You know, you get saved and then everything is going to be perfect. But that isn't true. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. We get all bent out of shape because we don't fit into the prosperity gospel. Listen to me. There is no such thing. Other than the fact that the gospel is prosperous. But it doesn't mean you're going to have lots of money. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed an easy life. You know, when you get saved, it guarantees that there's going to be trials. There's going to be tough times. But again, we live by faith. Well, you sure seem positive about this thing. I am positive because I believe him. I wish you'd be more positive. Amen? But see, again, if you're going to take a trip to Australia, you need to study Australia. And if you're going to take a trip anywhere, you know, if you're going to fly for the first time, you better look up on the internet or get the written information about flying and all the instructions and everything you need to know ahead of time so that you're prepared for what you face. Amen. I mean, honestly, you say, well, I flew 30 years ago. I think I can handle it. Oh, no. Things have changed drastically since 30 years ago. Things have changed since 10 years ago. Things have changed a lot. So you better find out. But that's what we need to do. We read the Bible and we find out what's supposed to happen and what's going to happen so we're not caught off guard, so that the trip toward the end of our faith, it's a good trip. So that it's a blessing. So that we're not grouchy all the time. So we're not critical all the time. Huh? I mean, God gave us a church so we can go, we can be taught about our faith. And so our faith can grow. We can be taught the Bible so that our faith can grow. We read our Bibles so that our faith can grow, so that we can handle those kinds of things. We're taught how to pray, and we're told to pray. And we're even told that you have not because you ask not. And so within our Christian life, I mean, the travel guide has given us everything we need. Amen. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we have the word of God to study. And we can do it. Anybody here can. And I'm amazed that we don't. And that's why the trip is so difficult for so many. I mean, let's be honest. The beginning, man, when I got saved, that was exciting. The end, woohoo! I'm going to heaven. That's going to be great. But boy, we have a lot of struggle in the middle. And I'm going to tell you, the reason we have so much trouble is because we're not living our life by faith like we need to. You know, the person that believes God, when a trial comes, they just keep believing God. They don't get mad at God. They don't get angry at God. They just believe God. They trust Him. Notice verse 14. Here's a problem. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You know, don't look back at your old life. By faith, look forward. In fact, anytime you're on a trip, do you understand that you ought to be looking toward the end of the trip and not look back at where you came from? I mean, it's abnormal to look back. The Jews, all the trouble they had was when they came out of Egypt, they were constantly looking back.
I miss my garlic. I miss the leeks and the onions and the fishies.
You know, don't look back at all that junk. But again, if we're not in the Bible, if our studies are the latest television program, we're headed for trouble. That, I mean, honestly, you better get in your Bible. You better look forward to and learn how to live this life by faith. We need to quit looking where we came from and look at where we're going. And you know, the Jews at Kadesh Barnea, they missed God's blessing because they kept looking back at the world and it was just so hard for them to enter in by faith.
Well, I mean, look at all the bad guys over in that land. God said, if you just step foot, every place your foot touches, it's yours.
What about the giants? What about they, you know, I mean, to them, we're grasshoppers. But again, by faith. It's all by faith. And they missed out. When we look back at our old life and we look back at the thing, you say, yeah, but I can see those things. And you have to see everything else by faith. Everything, you know, as far as God's will and God's the life for the Christian, it's by faith. You know, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I know who's there. And I know that if I'm taking the steps He tells me to take, He has a reason for me stepping there. I was counseling this week. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And just take the steps that He orders. You know? Well, how do I know if I'm supposed to take that step? Well, you know because by faith, you know that's what He told you to do. But how do I know? By faith. Well, yeah, but if I step by faith, then there's going to be a place to step. If that's what He told you to do. And we need to trust Him with all of that. See, the truth of the matter is, many people aren't excited about the end of their faith because you're living too much in the old life that you used to have. And heaven's not even exciting to you. The things of God aren't even exciting to you. And that it's so sad. It's so sad. You know, folks that go on a trip and constantly complain, well, it's too hot, or I'm not comfortable, it's too cold, or whatever. You know, the plane's bumpy, you know. Plane bumps are really unique when you think about it, how there could be bumps in the sky. But, you know, well, it's just too bumpy, right? I don't like it. Oh, my ears pop. Well, I'm not, you know, if you go through life that way, you're going to find out that the truth of the matter is you're just really looking at yourself too much. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep our eyes off of ourselves. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and get excited about, yes, the end of your faith. But I'm excited about the trip. I you know, verse 8, it says, whom having not seen ye love. What? How? By faith, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm talking about a life where you can do that. Yet believing. How is that? It's by faith. It's believing. I believe Him. I just believe Him. Yeah, you're always so positive. I just believe God. I believe him. Well, you don't seem to, this doesn't seem to bother you. Well, what good does it do to bother you? Is what I'd like to ask you. I mean, how much are you going to accomplish being bothered? Amen. So, somebody said worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. You do a whole lot of work and you go nowhere. So what are you going to accomplish? How about God, I trust you. Well, this snuck up on me. It didn't sneak up on God. Well, I wasn't expecting that. You know what? If you'd have read his book, The Travel Guide, you would have expected it. You ever driving down the road and all of a sudden you hit a big bump in the road, and if you'd have been paying attention, there was a sign ahead of time that said bump. And bump is spelled where everybody can understand it, bump. It's pretty easy, bump. Bump. I wonder what that means. You don't even have to try to figure it out, it's just a bump. Amen. You know, God didn't say life is bumpless. He said there's going to be bumps. Trust me. He said, I've allowed some potholes in your life. He knew about Michigan. But you know what? Receiving the end of your faith. You know, one of these days, it's all going to be over. But even along the way, he's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's today. That's now. That's on the trip. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You see, there's a beginning to your faith. That's salvation. There's the middle of your faith. There's the trip of faith. That's our lives. That's something that the Bible says, that's how we're supposed to live. The just shall live by faith. And you know what? If you're not living by faith, then no wonder you're miserable. No wonder you never smile. No wonder you're a grouch. No wonder you're critical. No wonder every time something happens, it's everybody's fault. Somebody's fault. Can't possibly be God's will. This cannot be God's will. Why? Because it made you uncomfortable? Why? Because you didn't particularly like it? I got news for you folks. God's will is so much bigger than what I like and what I don't like. And it is far bigger than I need to be comfortable. You know, it's God, I trust you. I love you and I trust you. And I believe you know what's best. And in every area of our life. Well, I wonder what God did. He allowed our factory to shut down. God kept the biscuit place out of Tecumseh. What are we going to do? I don't eat them. Oh, that is bad. That is real bad. I guess my time's up. Somebody turn it off, all right? Sounds like it's coming from back there. It's back there? Yeah, they'll hang up. You didn't have to say it was you. I wouldn't have said anything. All right, the altar call is... No. Okay, Dana, we're going to wait on you. They're really persistent. She's really embarrassed. I feel bad. All to Jesus she surrenders. That's all right. You know what? We're not even mad about it because I'm just about done anyway. It's all right, Dana. At least something. I don't know. Do you know that I always know what time it is? I don't really need a phone, and I don't even look at a watch. There's something in there that just because I actually ran out of notes. But you know, just like that phone going off, the end of our faith. Hey, you know, seriously, you think about it. If you're on a trip, and I always think about some of our faraway basketball games, and people go to sleep. But especially when we had cheerleaders traveling, you know, they would go to sleep before or on the way, and they'd say something like this. They'd say, "Now, when we start to get close, wake me up."
Oh, so I wonder what that's all about, you know. But you know what that's all about. It's get out the purse and get all the stuff and get the little mirror thing, you know. And all of a sudden, it's like this, you know. All right, we're about 15 minutes away, and you see movement all over, you know. Then it's only 5 minutes later, and you can't breathe because all the hairspray. This was the girls' volleyball team several years ago. You see little mirrors and all this kind of stuff, getting ready, you know, for the volleyball game where you're supposed to sweat. Right? Well, I think about, I don't know where we are as far as our trip. I can't tell you if it's 15 minutes away from the rapture. I can't tell you if you're 15 minutes away from dying and going to heaven. I don't know. It could be next week. Could be later on today. You know? I don't know when it's going to be. But I'll tell you this much. I want to be ready. And how can you be ready, preacher? Just to believe Him by faith. Because He does know when it's going to be. Amen? He does know. And I'll tell you this. When He tells you to do something by faith, just do it. Just do it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you saved? Have you begun the trip? Have you had that beginning of faith where you trusted Christ as Savior? How many would say, preacher, I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I were to die right now, I know that I'd go to heaven. Raise your hand if you know that today. You know you're saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there someone here today who would say, preacher, I do not know that. If I were to die right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I am not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? Anyone like that? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Anyone? Anyone at all? How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm saved. I know that, but God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life, something in the message, something through His Word. Somehow God's dealt with me about something today as a Christian. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, bless the invitation. Help us to do what You want us to do. Thank You, God. Thank You so much for the salvation of our souls. Thank You for the trip that we take. And God, the wonderful walk of faith that You allow us to take. Help us to have that kind of faith, that it'd be a pleasant trip, that we'd trust You along the way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 270, just as I am. God, speak in your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. If you need to come, you come. As we sing, God, speak into your heart.
Just as I am without complete, the death Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments continue to play. Just as I am. That's how we come. That's how you came to be saved. That's how you come throughout your life as a Christian. God knows what He got when He saved you. God knows what you are. God knows who you are. You just come. Talk to Him. God, help me to trust You. Help me to believe You. Lord, I believe. Help Thou mine unbelief. You have a decision you need to make today. You come. Still time. Folks are praying. If you're not sure you're saved, please get saved. Please trust Christ as Savior today. Any others need to come? The invitation's still open. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse.
Amen. Look up this way, please. Ensemble practice at 4:30, everything at 5 except for the first through third graders. They will not be practicing. Young ladies that are going to sing in the mother-daughter banquet, 6th grade and under, will meet in the 4 and 5-year-old room at 5:30 and be practicing their song and, of course, our service tonight, 6 o'clock. And I trust that you'll be here for that. We will have the Lord's Supper. And so if you have small children, you need to talk to them about that. That'll be very good. Brother Tim Cook, would you come up here and close in prayer for us, please? Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for going with us on this journey of faith that we are taking. And I pray, Father, that as you've commanded us to do, to pray that Jesus comes back and he comes back quickly. And certainly we look forward to his coming. Bless us now as we depart and go our separate ways. Bring us back faithfully again for the evening services and different practices tonight. And keep us safe, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.